And the message will be taken from the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John, chapter 12. These verses was read this morning, but I'm going to only read two of the verses, starting with verse 12 and verse 13. The Gospel of John. If you're able, would you please stand for the reading of the word? The Gospel of John, chapter 12, verse 12 and 13, and it reads like this. The next day, a great multitude that had come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him and cried out, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel." Amen. Let's have a word of prayer. Unto thee, O gracious God, do we come one more time to give you praise and the honor. Thank you, O gracious God, just for reaching down, just touching us with the fingertip of your wonderful love. We know, O gracious God, that we would not be in your presence if it had not been for you. Because, Lord, you watched over us last night while we slept. And when we arose this morning, we arose in the newness of life. You gave us this life, oh gracious God. You gave us this life so we can have a joy that you have prepared for us. And we just want to give you all glory and all praise. We just want to magnify your wonderful name. To the utmost, we know that you are worthy to be praised. So as we stretch our hands up to the hills, from which comes our help, we know that all of our help comes from you, Lord. And we give you praise, we give you glory. We just want to magnify your precious name. In the name of Jesus, in the precious name of Jesus, amen. You may be seated. Today, I just want you to do one thing for me. Because I imagine that we will have palm branches that you could wave. But for a second, I just want you to just touch your palm right now. And just imagine that it is a palm that you can wave. And I just want you to just raise your hand and wave that palm in the air. Just want you to wave it just like you just don't care. I said wave it just like you just don't care. Amen. Thank you. Today I want to talk to you about what palm are you waving? What palm are you waving? A little boy was sick on Palm Sunday and stayed home from church with his mother. His father returned from church holding a palm branch. The little boy was curious and asked, "Why do you have that palm branch, Dad?" The father said, "You see, when Jesus came into town, everyone waved palm branches to honor him, so we all got palm branches today." The little boy replied, "Oh, shucks. The one Sunday I miss is the Sunday that Jesus showed up." But let me go back for a moment and paint you a picture about what happened on Palm Sunday. The mother too had begun to gather since early that morning. There was an extreme excitement in the air because words had spread like wildfire that Jesus had raised Lazarus from the dead. He healed the blind and the sick. He cast out demons. He made water into wine. And he walked on water. Now in John 12, 19, the Pharisees said to each other, "There's nothing that we can do. Look, everyone has gone after him," meaning everybody wants to see that man called Jesus. The disciples were there. Not only the 12, but by that time it was hundreds. Then there was another group on their way to the Passover feast who had joined the caravan also. There was also the residents of Bethany and Bethsaida who had heard of his miracles. Then there was those who were already in Jerusalem who was rushing out to and searching just for a glimpse of that man called Jesus. Now just imagine thousands of people lining up on that dusty roadside as Jesus began his triumphant entry into Jerusalem, riding on a donkey. Now the news began to spread throughout the city and surrounding areas concerning the miracles that Jesus has performed. The people were very excited to hear that Jesus was God's promised Messiah. When they found out that he was in Bethany and Bethsaida, in Mark 14 says, the multitude was traveling to Jerusalem, turned around to meet him. In John 12 says, there was already a multitude traveling with him. Can you just imagine how many people was rushing out to meet Jesus that day when they heard that he was coming? Then there was the Roman soldiers on the scene because they had sensed that a political uprising might be in the making. The Herodians, they was there. The Jewish ruling party, who feared that there would be an overthrow by him, and they did not want to lose their political power. The Pharisees, they was there, looking on with envy. The common people were convinced that their day of liberation had finally arrived in Jesus of Nazareth. There were a celebration going on in Jerusalem on that Palm Sunday like none other. I said there was a celebration going on in Jerusalem like none other.
Yeah.
You remember when President Barack Obama was elected as president, there was a celebration all across the country. But none like this celebration. When the Cubs won the World Series, there was a celebration in Chicago. But not like this celebration. As we look at this celebration, the mother two did two things, y'all. First, they received him as king. This is shown by two acts which were already done for kings entering a city. They stripped off their cloaks and cut down tree branches, and they spread them both out on the roadside before him. This was the way that they honor and show him the respect as a king. They wanted to show Jesus that they received him as the promised king of Israel. Secondly, they received him as Messiah. This is seen in what they showed out when they came there that day. They shouted out, Hosanna, which means save now, or save we pray. They called him the Son of David. They shouted out, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
Yes.
This means that blessed is he who is sent by God to save his people. Blessed is he who is sent with the authority of God. They shouted out, Hosanna in the highest.
Mm-hmm.
But some of the Pharisees in the crowd told Jesus to tell the people to stop shouting.
Yeah.
Jesus said in Luke 19:40, if I tell them to hold their peace, he said, if I tell them to hold their peace, then what? If I tell them to hold their peace, then what? Then the stone is going to cry out.
Yeah.
So don't let nobody stop your praise.
Yeah.
I said it one more time, don't let nobody stop your praise, because they don't know like you what you have been through. They don't know like you how God has lifted you up and turned you around and plant your feet on solid ground. So why don't we take 1 minute right now and give God some praise?
Yeah.
Is there a praise in the house? I say, is there a praise in the house?
Hallelujah.
Every Sunday morning that I come here, I always look at this sign, this banner here. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. And as I look to the other side, in everything, give thanks to God. In everything. In everything. Not for everything, but in everything. To give praises and thanks to God. You can give praises to God in any situation that you may be in. Even if you were in the midst of a burning fire, you can give God praise. Even if you are thrown into a den of lions, you can give God some praise. Even like Joseph, if you are thrown into a pit, If you are sold into slavery, if you still can give God some praise,
yes.
Even if you have gotten a bad report from your doctor, in it you can give God some praise,
yeah.
Because he is worthy to be praised. I say he is worthy to be praised,
yeah.
Because after all these years, God is still working miracles. After all of these years, he's still healing the sick. He's still giving sight to the blind. He's still making the lame to walk. He's still making the deaf to hear. He's still opening doors that no man can close.
Yes, he is.
I tell you, we ought to be giving God some grateful praise this morning.
Yeah.
The difference between praise and grateful praise is that when you give God grateful praise, that you don't care who's sitting beside you, you always can give God some praise.
Yeah.
No matter what people say about you, if you give them grateful praise, you don't care what they say about you. Because we know that God is able to deliver.
Yes.
I say we know that God is able to deliver.
Yeah.
Now, what can we learn from the demonstration of the palm this morning?
Yeah.
First, we learn that we must proclaim Christ as our King. He is to be king of our heart and lives, and we must open our heart and let him reign over it. But here's the critical question. What do you mean by king? Some of the people of the church back in Christ's day, they was willing to accept him as an earthly king. They was willing to accept what authority and power he had to benefit them. And the further thing from their minds was a spiritual king who would reign over their lives.
Yes.
They wanted an earthly king with earthly benefits. But are we any different? Some want his earthly benefits when we are in need. Lord, give me this, or Lord, give me that. But when it comes to his spiritual benefits, of things of the spirit, there are some people may say, wait a minute. You mean that I have to give my tithes and my offering before I pay my rent? See, some may say, I just bought a brand new car, a brand new SUV. Some may say, I have kids in college and their tuition is overwhelming.
Yeah.
You mean that I have to pay my tithes? I have to give my tithes and my offering first?
Yeah.
Some may turn away. One man said, Lord, this is all my money, and I'm going to throw it up in the air. What stays up, Lord, you keep. And what comes down, I keep. But I come to tell you this morning, but by allowing God to lay hands on your finances,
yeah,
you'll be able to do more with 90% than you can with 100%. David said in Psalms 37:25, I have been young, and now I'm old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. And in verse 28, he says, the saints are preserved forever. Now, how long is forever? If you were asked a 60-year-old, how long is forever? I believe you would get the answer, to infinity and beyond. But when we serve Christ and let him rule and reign over our life, we will reap many benefits. It allows us to discover and develop our spiritual gifts. It allows us to experience miracles. It allowed us to experience joy and peace that come from obedience. It will help us to become more like Jesus. It will increase our faith. It allowed us to experience God's presence in a whole new way. And it's just good for the soul. But many come to church seeking help from the bride, but pay little attention to the bridegroom. Many people have come to church seeking for help, And when they got the help that they wanted, you don't see them anymore. People have come into the church and gotten husbands and wives. Instead of them staying, they take their spouse away. It's not all about me, myself, and I, but it is about him who was nailed to the cross and refused to come down and save himself.
Yeah.
But he decided to stay. He decided to die just to save a wretch like me. So what palms are you waving this morning? Yeah. Are you waving palms of praise? Then the second lesson we learn about Palm Sunday is that we must welcome Christ as God's true Messiah. The one who has come to truly save us. No one should take for granted his earthly cares and deliverance without first being willing to receive his spiritual cares and deliverance. Matthew 6:33 says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you."
Yes.
And then there's the third lesson. Every man should cry out, "Hosanna, save now, I pray, O Lord." 2 Corinthians 6:2 says, "Behold, now is the accepting time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." You know that we like to procrastinate. We always putting things off for tomorrow, even our salvation. Tomorrow is not promised to any of us. Today is not promised. That's why every man, woman, and child need to cry out, "Hosanna, save now."
Yes.
Joshua said to the children of Israel in Joshua 24:15, "Choose for yourself this day who you will serve. Not tomorrow, but this day." And he goes on and say, "For me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord."
Yes.
Elijah came to the people and said in 1 Kings 18:21, "How long will you falter between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, follow him." But the people answered him not a word. Some give in and say, "Okay, Lord, I give you one Sunday. I start going to church on Sunday." So we convince ourselves that one day is better than nothing. So we serve God one day a week. And you do what you want to do 6 days. Matthew 6:24 says, "No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." Many people put God on hold. Just because you have your youth and strength today, that don't mean that you're going to live to be 100.
Yeah.
But many of us think that way. How else can you explain the hesitation of many who hear the word and turn away? Just last year, it said to me that I did the funeral service of a 22-year-old. The old folks, parents used to say, I can't keep saying the old folks used to say because I'm that age now. My parents used to say, "Here today, gone tomorrow." But that has to change. Here today, gone today. So we should lay out ourselves before Jesus just like they did with the palm branches and welcome him into our lives, but not like the people in Jerusalem. They may have meant it for an act of respect to a king, but Jesus knew that they would soon forget that moment. The same mother too who cried, "Hosanna," they cried, "Crucify him,
yeah.
Crucify him."
Yeah.
Psalm 100 says, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye land. Serve the Lord with gladness, come before his presence with singing." You know, every time we should come before the Lord, we should come before him with thanksgiving in our hearts.
Yes, Lord.
No matter if we are at home, we should come into God's presence with thanksgiving in our heart.
Yes.
So what palm are you waving this morning to honor your king?
Yes.
Are you waving your Sunday best before him, or are you presenting your body as a living sacrifice?
Come on,
holy and acceptable unto God. Are you here just for the show? Or are you here to declare that the Son of God has come with healing in his wings? Are you here to see what all the commotion is about? Or are you here to let your light so shine before men that they may see your good work and glorify your Father which is in heaven? If so, then you should come if you are hungry and thirst for righteousness. You should come if you long to be like Christ. You should come if you have been led by the Spirit of God. You should come to be faithful in your service. You should come to be ready to throw your spiritual garments of praise at the feet of Jesus. You should come crying, Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Jesus came that we may have life and that we may have it more abundantly. He came knowing that he would die, but he did not come down from the cross to save himself. I want to tell you this morning, it was not the nails that kept Jesus on the cross.
Hallelujah.
It was not the Roman soldiers that kept Jesus upon the cross. It was not Pontius Pilate that made Jesus stay on the cross. It was not Caesar. It was not King Herod. You know what made Jesus stay upon the cross? It was the love he had for you and me what kept him up on the cross. He would not come down from the cross to save himself, but he looked down through generations and saw lost generations. The love for you and me is what kept Jesus upon the cross.
Yeah.
The Apostle Paul said in Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who live in me.
Yeah.
He said, it is not I who live, but Christ who live in me. And I want to tell every born again believer in here this morning, that there is a king in you.
Yeah.
Every born-again believer, there is a king in you. And as I go to my seat, I just want to let you know that there is a king in you. And because there is a king in you, there's going to be many people who's going to try to belittle you. But this is what I want you to tell them as I'm going to my seat. You tell them, if you can't help me, please don't stop me. Move out of my way. Don't try to block me, because I got a race to run and I'm running by faith. And at the finishing line, I got to see God's face, because I've been running for Jesus a long time. I've been running both night and day. And I ain't got time for idle talk. I ain't got time to criticize. I ain't got time to gossip. I ain't got time to drink up, shoot up, or smoke up. I ain't got time for idle talk, because you're gonna make me lose this race. So one more time, you tell them, if you can't help me, please don't stop me. Move out of my way. Don't try to block me. I got a race to run. I got a race to run. And I'm running by faith. I'm running by faith. At the finishing line, I got to see God's face. Because I've been running for Jesus a long time. I've been running both night and day. I ain't got time for idle talk. I said, I ain't got time for gossip. I ain't got time for none of that mess. Because it just might make me to lose this race. So people, community, God bless you. God bless you. What palms are you waving this morning? I hope you waving the palm of praise, because of God, he is worthy to be praised. I say he's worthy to be praised. Say he's worthy to be praised. To the utmost, he's worthy to be praised. When you get up out of your bed in the morning, you should say, thank you, Lord, for watching over me while I slept. When you get in your car, thank you, Lord, for starting my car. When you
get to your job if you have a job. Thank you, oh gracious God, for making ways out of no way. When you look at your wife and kids before you leave home, thank you, oh gracious God, for watching over my family. I say it's time to give God some praise. So wave your palms, wave them high. Wave your palms, wave them high, and give God glory, because he is worthy. He is worthy to be praised. God bless you.
Amen. Hallelujah.